AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And good morning, everybody. We had a little bit of some technical difficulties. Apologize for that. I know you just couldn't wait to hear my lovely, soothing voice right here in the morning. It is Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good day, Ed.
And then Dr. Alex McFarland is with us remotely. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Well, we are more than halfway through September, and we are approaching probably the most important election in at least our lifetimes, maybe our country's history. But you know what? Before we get into talking about some of that kind of stuff, folks, Fred Jackson forwarded to me, I don't know, about an hour ago, maybe less than that, this incredible story that is now breaking in the Middle East. Fred, let our listeners know what's happening.
You know, when I came into work this morning, there was a headline. Apparently, the Israeli cabinet had met late last night. And coming out of that, Prime Minister Netanyahu had said they are ready to step up the fight against Hezbollah in Lebanon. Because ever since October the 7th, the massacre that Hamas carried out in southern Israel, Hezbollah has also been sending missiles into northern Israel, forcing people who live in northern Israel to flee. And Netanyahu said this morning, enough is enough. So, and then the United States predictably said, you know, to Israel, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
Because, you know, you've got what's going on in Gaza. All right, so I read that, and that's the kind of story I'm getting used to reading and seeing, you know, when I come in the morning with regards to what's going on in Israel.
And Hezbollah is funded by Iran.
Like Hamas.
Right.
They are Islamic terrorist groups funded by Iran. So after our story meeting, we have a story meeting each morning to discuss what stories are going to come up. Return to my desk. Bring up Reuters News. And the Reuters News headline was this: hundreds of Hezbollah members wounded in Lebanon when pagers explode. And first I thought, okay, is somebody spoofing with Reuters?
Right.
Pagers exploding simultaneously?
First of all, who uses pagers?
Exactly. So we can now report, because multiple news agencies are reporting this, the Associated Press out of Beirut, folks, just hang on and listen. Apparently, the Hezbollah terrorist leadership some time ago told these Hezbollah terrorists to stop carrying cell phones because Israel could use the cell phone signals to track where you are. So they turned, apparently, they turned all their cell phones in, but the Hezbollah terrorists were given pagers, apparently brand new pagers. So they're all carrying these pagers.
You can still buy pagers?
Yeah, that's what I'm... Alex, that's kind of what I'm... Alex, explain just briefly what a pager is. There may be some young people out there listening who go, what's a pager?
Sure, that's right. And Fred, hold your thought. Yeah, you know, 20, 25 years ago, there was a little square thing about 3 inches by 3 inches, about an inch thick, and it had an LED screen, or an LCD screen, rather, and a pager would vibrate, and you could look down, and maybe you carried it on your belt clip, perhaps, and you could see the number of somebody calling you. You're getting a page, and so you would see that phone number and then go at your earliest possible convenience and call. Now, pagers fell out of fashion when flip phones and then cell phones came along, but pagers were initially for executives or medical doctors, but increasingly, I mean, I think the vast majority of pager usage were by drug dealers or gang members or some sort of miscreant. And I mean, the fact that, I mean, this is just better than a script writer could conjure
yes,
up
yes.
that terrorists, now think about this, because lithium batteries.
Now don't give it away. Fred hasn't told the part here.
The punchline.
Yeah, the punchline.
By the way, there's another story that needs to spin off of this that we could talk about, the lithium batteries that, according to the green energy cult, lithium batteries will be the world's salvation.
Yeah,
I disagree. But anyway, pagers were a thing 25 years ago, before really cell phones, flip phones, and then smartphones became ubiquitous.
All right. So sometime several hours ago, all of these Hezbollah terrorists got a message on their cell phones, on their pagers. At that moment, their pagers exploded. And we're not going to celebrate the injuries.
Right.
Because
these are some of them very serious injuries.
Very serious injuries. There are now videos coming out of Beirut and some of the suburbs where these terrorists were. There's one video out there of a guy, it looks like he was at a grocery store. And the video shows, you know, he's about to pay for groceries, whatever, and there is this huge explosion. Hospitals in Beirut at this hour are going crazy. They're pleading with people to come in and give blood. Ambulances are screaming towards these hospitals because some of these Hezbollah terrorists have been injured very seriously. In fact, there is one report that apparently the Iranian ambassador to Lebanon was apparently standing next to one of these Hezbollah terrorists when his pagers went off. So just think, this all happened, a message went through. And yes, the Associated Press is talking about the possible technology that Israel used involving lithium batteries. When a lithium battery is superheated, it's why the airlines tell you, you know,
yes,
if you have battery operated, you need to disconnect those things.
Right.
Or don't put them in your luggage because they could heat up. Mm-hmm. There is speculation that Israel did something that caused these lithium batteries, when the message simultaneously came to those hundreds of Hezbollah terrorists, superheated the lithium battery, and you had these huge explosions.
Now, Alex, I just got to say, I was just blown away by this. I'm still kind of stunned by it. This is very Tom Clancy-ish. I mean, Jason Bourne, science fiction, take your pick. Where in Israel just seems to have, I'm just going to say, the God-given ability to come up with ways to defend themselves or defend itself. Because who would, first of all, you'd have to know what Hezbollah had done. No cell phones. You'd have to know that. You'd have to know that they were given pagers instead. And then either develop or already have sitting in your back pocket the ability to detonate those batteries remotely and send a message to Hezbollah, Hamas, every terrorist group in the region, and Iran that we have capabilities you've never dreamt of.
Well, do you know what? In the Old Testament, Haman built a gallows to kill Jewish people. Haman was hung on his own gallows. Guys, I think about Proverbs 13:15, where God's word says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Isn't this something? Hezbollah terrorists, oh, we're going to outsmart Israel. We won't use cell phones. We'll use pagers. And yet Israel somehow knew to make those simultaneously go off at once, heat up, explode. Not to name drop or anything, but I've got a friend at NORAD in Colorado Missile Command. He's an Air Force colonel and a Christian. I was with him about a month ago. He was explaining to me, he said, Alex, it is uncanny the intel that the nation of Israel has, smallest nation, most persecuted nation. And he said to me, if you didn't believe in the supernatural, he said, the way that Israel just happens along key intelligence that contributes to their safety and survival, he said, the only explanation is that God is with Israel. And this colonel said to me, he said, the most foolish thing any nation could ever do is turn against Israel. Conversely, the wisest thing America could do is be a friend to Israel because God is with them.
And that's why it is disturbing when we do hear from the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, we should say now, does their level best, it seems, to distance itself from Israel at times and to try to convince Israel to do what is clearly against its own best interest. And that's disturbing. I worry for our nation if we were ever to turn against Israel. Well, folks, we're going to continue to follow this story. And let me just do a little plug here for American Family News. You can go to AFN.net and see this story. It is from the Associated Press version of this story. Dozens of Hezbollah terrorists wounded when their pagers explode. And I just encourage you to sign up for the news brief email that you will get just once a day from American Family News, and you will get a lot of these stories delivered right into your email inbox. And then you can click on those links and go to AFN.net, and not only those stories that you get in your email box, but also many, many more stories, including videos from a Christian perspective. These stories, by the way, are edited by our own staff to take out some of the clear bias that we find when those stories first come to us in the early morning hours. But go to AFN.net to catch this story, and we encourage you to sign up for that daily email. But we will continue to follow this, and AFN will continue to follow this. This is a big story. It is breaking news. And I'm sure the fallout from this will continue over the next several days. All right, we want to welcome to the program Dr. Frank Turek, who is, as often as we can get him on the program, kind of like Dr. Alex McFarland, both of these good doctors travel a lot, preaching the gospel, on especially on college campuses, but at churches, and interacting with people who do not believe, and doing a just an amazing job at making clear the truths of Scripture. Dr. Frank Turek is also host of Cross Examined, heard on American Family Radio Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time. Frank, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Gentlemen, just in from the Babylon Bee, Pope challenges Jesus to debate on whether all religions lead to God. Have you seen this?
Yes, I saw that. Well, listen, Fred, explain, you know, Dr. Frank Turek sometimes jokes around, and the Babylon Bee always jokes around, but there's some truth behind this. Let our listeners know what the story is, and then we'll get Frank's take on it.
Well, during a three-day visit to Singapore, Pope Francis declared that, quote, all religions are a path to God. This is a Christian Post story to give them credit for it. He said, if you start to fight, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will that lead us? He asked. There's only one God, he said, and each of us has a language to arrive at that God. Some are Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, and they are different paths to God.
All right, Frank, you religious bigot. How dare you think that your religion is the one true religion? Listen, this sounds like universalism coming from this pope.
Well, it does, but what he doesn't also seem to understand, other than disagreeing with the Bible and Jesus, he doesn't seem to understand that that position right there disagrees with other people. For example, if he's going to say that if you start to fight, my religion is more important than yours, mine is true and yours isn't, where will that lead us? Well, that's what the Pope said, but he thinks his view that all religions lead to God is true. And if you're a Christian that actually believes the Bible, he thinks you're wrong. If you're a Muslim that believes the Quran, he thinks they're wrong. You see, no matter what view you take, it's an exclusive view. If you say all religions lead to God, you're disagreeing with the people that say all religions don't lead to God. So he's not avoiding anything here by thinking, well, look, I'll just say all religions lead to God, even though that's not true. As if he's trying to build bridges, you know, when in fact he's well, let me just put it this way. Remember the old joke, is the Pope Catholic?
Right.
The answer today is no.
Yes.
The Pope is not Catholic.
Go ahead, Alex. I know you're chomping at
Frank,
the bit here.
Wonderful. And by the way, it's just great to hear your voice, Frank.
You too, yeah,
I mean,
my brother.
This is the most un-Catholic Catholic Pope of our lifetime. By the way, one really good pope, Benedictine the 16th, John Ratzinger, several years ago, was very clear that Jesus is the only way to God. So I guess is Pope Francis saying Pope Benedictine the 16th was wrong? I mean, can one pope say a previous pope was mistaken, much less Jesus being mistaken? This is, Frank, would it be fair to say that this pope's proclamation is heresy?
Oh, totally. That's why the Babylon Bee has another headline, heresy jar installed on desk of the Pope.
kind of like a, what they call it, a swear jar or something.
That's
you have to drop a quarter in if you lose control of your tongue and say something wrong. So
I mean, this
heresy
is,
jar.
This is really
hilarious.
Serious, though. I know we're making light of it, but it is really serious to have the head of the biggest Christian denomination, if you will, totally disagree with Jesus. And the Babylon Bee puts it right. I mean, they're making light of it, but in this article where they're trying to say the Pope wants to debate Jesus, here's how it goes. Sources close to Pope Francis confirm that the 87-year-old Bishop of Rome has just challenged Jesus Christ to a debate on how people can get to heaven. According to Francis, the debate has been worked for quite a while now, though he's hoping that Jesus will finally take him up on the offer now. I really need to set the Lord straight, said the successor of the Apostle Peter. We've just keep missing one another. One of those prayer tag things, you know. Anyway, I heard Jesus said something bigoted about no one coming to the Father except through me. And that's just so exclusionary. So I've challenged God incarnate to a debate so I can teach him a thing or two about how people come to God.
Listen, it is, like you said, listen, we are kind of making fun and mocking here. And as I said, the Babylon Bee is always using satire to try to make a point. But listen, you deal with this view all the time on college campuses. Alex does as well. Students are are steeped in this view that if there is any credence to give to religion at all, it is that all roads lead to God. So how would you answer that if a student said to you, I think all roads lead to God? Now, you did make a great argument there on propositional truth. You know, this is an internally inconsistent view, but explain a little bit why it matters that we follow what Jesus said about getting to heaven rather than Pope Francis.
All right, well, let's just look at it philosophically for a second. The reason Jesus is the only way to God is because there's no other way an infinite being who is infinitely just can allow unjust creatures like all of us to go unpunished unless he punishes an innocent substitute in our place. Otherwise, the infinitely just God would not be just if he allowed us to go unpunished. So he has to punish a substitute. And who is the substitute? He can't find a substitute in any of us because we're all fallen. We need to be punished for our sins because God is infinitely just. The only way he can find an innocent substitute is within himself. So The second person of the Trinity adds humanity to his deity, comes to earth, lives the perfect life, allows the creatures that rebelled against him to torture and kill him so he could take our punishment upon himself. And then by trusting in him, you can not only be forgiven, but you can be given his righteousness. Now, this is why Paul says in Romans 3:26, he says, God remains just and is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In other words, he remains just because he's still punishing sin. He has to because he's infinitely just. But he doesn't want to punish us sinners because he loves us. So he punishes himself, the second person of the Trinity, in our place. Look, if you could get to God by being good, there's no need for Jesus, right? Mm. This is why Paul says in Galatians 2, if righteousness could come through the law, then Christ died in vain. So there is no other way to be saved than through the one way Jesus has provided. It's not an arbitrary claim. It's not a bigoted claim. It's just the way justice and grace work.
Mm.
Fred?
Amen.
Fred here. This is not just a local parish priest saying this. This is the head of the Roman Catholic Church. I guess I have two questions. How in the world would somebody with this point of view, how can they rise to this level? And if you're a local parish priest, you're probably just as appalled as we are in hearing about this. What is the responsibility of the rest of the Catholic Church with regards to saying, wait a minute, Pope Francis is wrong, folks?
Well, what they're going to say probably, Fred, I would think, is the Pope is not speaking what is known as ex cathedra, which means that this is just his opinion. He's not speaking as the infallible word of the Pope, in their view. So they would just dismiss it that way. But as you saw in the article, and I know Christopher will post it, the article from the Christian Post, the title of it is Pope Francis's claim all religions are a path to God, rebuked by clergy. So there are people rebuking him already. In fact, one guy, Joseph Strickland, was a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church, but he was dismissed last year because he kept going against what the Pope said.
Mm.
So people are going to have to stand up for truth. Your allegiance is not to some bishop or pope. Your allegiance should be to Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All right, you know, go ahead, Alex.
Frank, what you said is great. I've said this on many a college campus. I'll say, look, Jesus claimed to be the one and only way to God. Was he right or was he wrong? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've had students and an occasional professor say, well, he was wrong. At which point I'll say, okay, let's look at Jesus's resume. Prophesied coming, virgin born, sinless life, miraculous deeds, raised from the dead under his own power. May I see your pedigree?
Right.
Okay, you're a mortal, finite sinner. Okay, the prophesied coming, sinless Son of God, rose from the dead, said he is the one and only way to heaven. It behooves us to trust Christ's assessment of what salvation is rather than fallen sinners.
Not only that, that's well said, Alex, not only that, but notice that when people bring this objection up, they're assuming a moral standard. They're thinking
Indeed.
That somehow God is immoral for not making more ways to get to heaven. Many of these people are not even Christians. Some of them are atheists. So I always ask them, by what moral standard are you saying this is wrong if God is indeed doing this? And look, we could talk about what about those that have never heard. We only got 1 minute left in this segment, so we can't get into all that. But the point is, it assumes a moral standard that the critic does not have in his or her worldview. So you need to point that out as well. Look, if God exists, and he does, and he is love, and he is, and he's infinitely just as well, then there's nobody in the afterlife who is ever going to say, I got a raw deal. God was unjust to me. That's impossible.
Alex, what do you got coming up this weekend? Do you know yet?
This weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Frank. Sorry about that. Oh.
Yes, we have a former FBI agent and ex-Muslim who worked under five presidents over 20 years. She's going to tell us about what an open border is like, why security is so lax around President Trump, and other issues. So tune in at 9 a.m. Central Time this Saturday for more.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
God bless you guys. See ya.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we got more. We hope you'll join us. Thanks. If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined by Fred Jackson and Dr. Alex McFarland. Fred, why don't you go ahead and repeat the top story today that we talked about at the top of the program?
Yeah, in case you weren't listening, folks, at the top of the program, breaking news out of Lebanon this hour. And it has to do with something has happened with the pagers being carried by Hezbollah terrorists. As we mentioned, normally they would carry cell phones, but the leaders of the Hezbollah terrorist group told its members, get rid of the cell phones because Israel might track you, the signals coming from your cell phones. All right, here's what's happening right now. And Beirut is in total chaos at this hour. What has happened is that these Hezbollah terrorists were given pagers to use to communicate with one another. Here's what we know at this hour. At some point several hours ago, a message was sent to these pagers, and all of these pagers exploded. They exploded. Many of these Hezbollah, and we're talking about hundreds of Hezbollah members, all of them getting the same signal, these pagers exploded. Obviously, the speculation at this hour is that Israel probably was involved somehow igniting a part of the technology of these pagers all at once, and these pagers have exploded. These hundreds of these Hezbollah leaders, the hospitals there in Beirut, they are pleading for people to come in and give blood because some of these terrorists have been seriously injured. We do not have on our website right now any videos, but I will tell you, there are videos out there already, cameras that were in stores, cameras in different places, cameras that are catching the chaos that's going on at hospitals there. But once again, the speculation is that the Israeli Defense Forces, as they have been known in the past, to have technology and incredible, and I think you said it, Ed, God-given abilities to come up with ways to stop these terrorists. And so that's what's going on at this hour. We are following the story, and we will follow it throughout the day, obviously, and getting reaction to
it. Well, and I will make mention of the fact that Reuters, who I think was, I don't know whether they broke the story or if it's, that was just the first news source that you read that had the story, they've updated it and said more than 1,000 people were wounded. That number probably will go up as they are able to tabulate the numbers of people affected by it. But an incredible story. And like Fred said, we don't rejoice at anyone being hurt. But in a sense, it is all-out war against Israel on the part of Hamas and Hezbollah. And, you know, when you attack people, they have a right to defend themselves. And it doesn't always have to be with a rocket.
And let's remind people, since October 7th of last year, Hezbollah in Lebanon, so Israel's been dealing with Hamas in Gaza.
In the south.
Yes. They've also had to deal because Hezbollah immediately began to throw missiles and bombs into northern Israel, forcing Israelis who live in northern Israel to leave, to abandon their homes. So Hezbollah terrorists aren't nice people.
Right.
As you say, Ed, this is war.
Right.
And this is a tactic that Israel is attempting to use to put a stop to what Hezbollah terrorists are all about. And I think we mentioned in the early segment of the program, there is a report that the Iranian ambassador to Lebanon was standing near one of these Hezbollah terrorists. Don't know what happened in as far as his physical condition. But let's remind people, Iran is bankrolling Hamas terrorists and Hezbollah terrorists.
And all over the region, they're bankrolling, you know, terrorists in Yemen. I mean, they are kind of throwing their weight around. Alex, I know we're coming kind of circling back to this story. We have already dealt with it. But Iran has the money to fund and bankroll these terrorist organizations because the Obama administration and the Biden administration as bookends around the Trump administration, Trump wanted to kind of freeze assets and have all sorts of financial disciplines on Iran. And the Obama administration and the Biden administration eased off that, and all this money flowed back to Iran, and this is the way they're using it.
You know, one of the differences between liberal and conservative could be their view on human nature. And conservatism that is pro-life says, you know, people are made in God's image, people are valuable to God, but yet people have a sin nature. And look, I well remember during the Obama years talking about he would talk about equity and fairness and, you know, tariffs and embargoes and using financial pressure, cutting off food and things like that to try to get Middle Eastern terrorists to play nice with Israel and the rest of the world. I remember Obama would say, you know, that's not right. Let's just believe in we're all people of good faith. But here's what needs to be said, and I mean, by the way, folks, it's been said that good leaders don't make good decisions. Good leaders make hard decisions. And it might be hard for our 21st century ears to hear, but look, there are people in this world that are evil. There are people in this world that have malice and, you know, evil schemes against Israel and the rest of the world. And among the evil miscreants of the world are terrorists. And so, you know, to empower terrorists, there were three 9/11-related terrorists that were the Biden administration helped spring from jail about a month ago. And by the way, giving money to Iran, they are sixth from the bottom in terms of human rights abuses in the world. But, guys, we need a president and administration that understands, look, we have malice against none, but at the same time, we understand evil exists. There are wicked schemes, and we have to be reasonable and mature in our dealing with terrorists and evil people. It goes all the way, I mean, Neville Chamberlain versus Winston Churchill versus the Third Reich. Lives are saved when leaders understand that some people are evil and they have to be dealt with.
You know, the Obama administration sent, and this was utterly shameful, sent in secret pallets stacked with $400 million of untraceable bills to Iran. Okay. Absolutely, utterly shameful. It, not only just bad policy, but to your point, Alex, ignoring human nature. And when the Biden administration eased those financial restrictions and unfroze assets, they said, we were told by Iran that they were going to use that money for good purposes, you know, to for infrastructure and to help the poor. And so who believes? Who would believe a terrorist state like Iran? Who would believe them when they would say, no, humanitarian purposes, that's what we'll use this money for? And yet, since that time, they have continued to bankroll all these terrorist organizations that are creating chaos in the Middle East and trying to obliterate Israel. It really is an extraordinary recognition of the blindness of those on, not just on the radical left, but the left, or even conservatives who do not give glory to God and recognize that the Bible is true in its description of human nature. Because there are conservatives who don't believe in God as well.
And by the way, theatlantic.com about a year ago had an article on how naive Westerners are when dealing with Islamic terrorists.
The Atlantic did?
Yeah, theatlantic.com. And so I guess my point in invoking that story is that, look, this is not just some, you know, preacher up on a soapbox or some right-wing conspiracy voice. Very reasoned Western academics that are willing to be honest, and theatlantic.com had this story. And by the way, if this came from some Christian preacher, it would be inflammatory, but theatlantic.com said the jihadists are the true Muslims.
Yes.
That the idea, you know, we hear this mantra ad infinitum, Islam is a religion of peace. I mean, no, history doesn't bear that out at all. And so, you know, we have to understand, and this is only the reasonable, mature conclusion, that, you know, they believe they can lie in the cause of Allah. So like when the Obama
administration—that's part of their teaching.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can lie to the infidel. By the way, that's us.
It's called, you know, taqiyya, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. The Muslims would call us infidels. Hillary calls us deplorables. But, but to believe that they are people of good faith who are not trying to obliterate Israel and who want to assimilate with the West, at best that's naive, and at worst it's complicit and contributing to the loss of lives and the furtherance of global instability.
Well, let me sit here for just a second on this topic, and let me get your take and then Fred's take. I don't want to ignore Fred here. But Alex, not too long ago, I think it's within the last 6 months, maybe a year, time flies and I sometimes can't remember, but Richard Dawkins, the pretty well-known atheist, one of the four new atheists that made such a splash in the years since 9/11, okay? Right. And I'm talking about Sam Harris and was it Daniel Dennett and Christopher Hitchens. Those four really rose to prominence in the aftermath of 9/11. And I think their thinking was all religions are dangerous. This most recent example came from Islam, but all religions are dangerous. But now some of these, at least Richard Dawkins, seems to have come to the understanding that Islam is a real problem. Richard Dawkins even called himself a cultural Christian.
Yeah.
Saw the need for Christianity, even if he doesn't believe it's true in any objective sense, that Western civilization needs Christianity to hold it together. And he was very concerned about the growing influence of Islam within the UK. Why don't you just speak to that that phenomenon and then give Fred some time to talk about that as well.
By the way, you know, guys, call me naive, but I really pray for Richard Dawkins to come to Christ. You know, even though he's been a vehement opponent of Christianity in years past and even just the existence of God, you know, he is a child made in God's image, a sinner for whom Christ died. I pray for him to get saved. I spent time on the phone, in person, and via email really pleading with Christopher Hitchens up until about 3 weeks before his death. I actually, now listen to this, I had Christopher Hitchens on AFR February of 2010, and Ann Coulter had famously said, the only way to solve the problem of terrorism is go into these Islamic countries, convert the people to Christianity.
I remember that.
And kill their leaders. So Hitchens, who became pro-life before he died, his ultimate spiritual fate, I don't know. But Hitchens was on AFR with me in February of 2010, and Christopher Hitchens said, he said, I'm not saying this as any believer, but at least if they converted to Christianity, that they would stop terrorism. The only force that can stop the juggernaut of the iron sword of Sharia, the iron fist of communism, there's one force that could hold both of those at bay, and it's Christianity.
He said that.
Christopher Hitchens. And so it was March 31 of 2024. Richard Dawkins was walking through London, Easter morning of this year. And the minarets were bleating out their unsettling shriek, calling people in London to prayer. And Hitchens, later that afternoon, Easter Sunday, he said, my goodness, this is Christendom. It's Easter Sunday, the Lord's resurrection. Why in London do I hear the minarets calling Muslims to the mosque to pray? Should I not hear at least some choir singing, Christ the Lord is risen today? And I'm thinking, maybe thou art not far from the kingdom.
You're talking, but, you said Christopher Hitchens. You meant Richard Dawkins. Yeah.
I apologize.
Right. Yeah.
Richard, arch-atheist Richard Dawkins, this Easter, was lamenting the fact that in London he was not hearing the choirs on resurrection morning, but he was hearing the mosques.
Yeah.
You know, our founder, Dr. Don Weilman, I remember after 9/11, one of his statements was, 9/11 was the best thing that ever happened to Islam.
Yes, I remember that.
And that was a shocking statement to make, but our founder was a bit of a prophet, too.
Yeah.
Amen.
At the time, many people said, that's nonsense.
Right.
But what happened was the spin machine went into action.
Yeah.
And we had the creation of Muslim student groups on university campuses, which, by the way, a lot of them are now leading the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protests on our campuses.
Right.
All right. So all of a sudden, the mainstream media starts saying, as you just alluded to a few moments ago, Alex, that Islam is a peaceful religion. No, it's not. If you really study their history, the real Muslims are the Islamic terrorists because they believe they have the right to force their religion on everybody.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, what has happened, though, in the West, where it's a long way from 9/11. And so the appeasement machines went into activity in the UK, in places of Europe like Germany. Well, a lot of people on the British Isles have learned about what the real agenda of Islam is. I think it's in Liverpool, where there's a very large population of Islam. There have been attacks from some of these Muslims. Just last week, there was a story out of Germany where the German government, which is not driven by Christianity by any stretch of the imagination, they have now set up very serious roadblocks to every entry into Germany to start screening, because they allowed, under their political correctness, they've allowed this inflow of migrants, mainly from the Muslim world,
right,
and all kinds of crimes, all kinds of attacks against people. And so now they're setting up a stronger border barrier than we have in the United States right now. So the West, it takes a lot, but it begins to learn. They're their ideology, which says, you know, we need to be nice, they're really nice people, and then reality hits.
Right.
Reality has hit the UK. Reality has hit Europe to a certain extent here, but I worry about what's happening in this country. I'm not wishing for another Islamic terrorist attack in this country.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I fear it.
Yes.
I fear it.
No, you'd have to not be paying attention to not fear it.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Because we've known for a while now with the Biden administration and that wide open border that there were people coming across. Even the FBI, Christopher Wray, has had to admit, he's said on several occasions, that all sorts of red flags, closer to another big terrorist attack than we have been for a long, long time, that people have come across this border, people that have been caught at the border, southern border, who are on the terrorist watch list, who knows how many have come across,
mm-hmm.
and have set up sleeper cells,
yes,
you know,
yep.
waiting for the opportune moment to drop the hammer on innocent American citizens. So we'll continue to watch these things. I wanted to kind of sit on that for just a minute and discuss the fact that, and let me just throw this right back at Alex just for a minute. I don't want to, we do have other stories to get to, but there are famous people, famous atheists like Tom Holland, the historian, who wrote a wonderful book called Dominion. Alex, you probably have read it. But increasing numbers of people who are not Christian, I would say Jordan Peterson, he may be a Christian by now. I don't know. But
right.
we're seeing people who have been at least on the edges seem to be waking up to the importance of Christianity to the culture of Western civilization, and some perhaps even, you know, they're on the bank and might actually slip in and fall in and become Christians. But what do you think of that phenomenon? Is it just because of the enormous pressure that Western civilization is under? Is this part of the move of God's Spirit or both?
Well, I do think the Spirit of God is moving, and maybe people initially become open to the net positive that Christianity is. Maybe it's pragmatism. It's like, well, wait a minute. It's better when people behave morally. You know, one of the people that has given some, at least, you know, a tip of the hat to the goodness of Christianity has been Michael Shermer, you know. And
from the skeptics group?
Yeah, who I know very well, and Shermer, you know, years and years and years ago had been part of the Jesus movement of the 70s, and then he became a professed atheist. But people begin to say, wait a minute, whether or not God exists, whether or not Christianity is true, it is better when people think God is watching and therefore they behave more morally than they otherwise might have behaved. It's a net positive. And then, like Jordan Peterson, I was talking with Oz Guinness at the Values Voters Summit last fall, and it's, we need to pray for the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson, one of the most influential intellects in the world.
Right.
And I listened to Ben Shapiro, whom I have interviewed, and these guys are like, wait a minute, Christianity is good. Christianity is empirically verified by historical facts. Christianity changes lives. The dishonest become honest. The promiscuous become virtuous. The killers become loving. Maybe this thing is not only good, but it's true. And so, again, guys, call me naive, but I'm praying for the Spirit of God to use these turbulent times to wake people up and even bring people into a personal relationship with Christ. That is the world's ultimate best hope.
Well, you know, Fred, this was what Alex has just explained. This was the view of the founding fathers of this country. They believed that liberty was a gift from God to human beings, that it would unleash just unbelievable creativity and wealth and blessing, which has happened in the United States, even with all our flaws, okay? But they said political prosperity depends upon two pillars. This was George Washington in his farewell address. The pillars of religion and morality uphold political prosperity. Mm-hmm. And not all the founders, I think the vast majority of them were Bible-believing Christians, but not all of them were. But they understood just what Alex said, that you have to have a moral society of people who are restraining their own sinful impulses to allow liberty. If you don't have those people doing that, the government has to get bigger.
Yes, and the reason they were willing to say that is because history has shown it.
Yes.
History has shown that when those pillars begin to crumble, a society crumbles.
Yes.
That's what happens. I think you wrote an article for the Journal.
Yeah, I did years ago.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
It is worth reading that article again, folks, because it has been proven in history when those pillars are attacked, when they begin to deteriorate, a culture cannot survive.
Right. And that's why a republic or a democracy usually gives way to dictatorship when it fails, because the government has to grow so large and so powerful to restrain sinful impulses. All right, 5-minute break for news, folks. More good stuff directly ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.